Morris against Courtney Lee. Step back gun, no. Ilyasova follows, no. Andre taps, no. Barnes has it.
What's he doing?
From midcourt.
Oh, my.
Almost, and he tripled.
All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I am joined, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. What's he doing? What's he doing?
What's he doing for breakfast, Chuck?
I had two sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits from the Mighty McDonald's. They mailed me, I think, specifically to me, Hoopins from McDonald's, which I've been going over $30 in savings from my account today.
How much do you think you're saving from your cardiologist, though?
My last visit at the VA gave me a clean bill of health.
They rubber stamp clean bills of health.
They do. And hey guys, I'm healthy. And
so, are you actually lying and replacing filet of fish with biscuits?
No, silly. I had filet of fish for lunch.
Wow.
I have $30 in coupons. I'm on a budget, you guys. You guys
announce coupon.
Coupon. You don't know what my budget's about. I got plans. I need to keep my tight.
No, I understand.
Got to keep that money under wraps.
You know what I'm saying, Stein?
Keith, what did you have for breakfast?
I just had afterglow of the... What's he doing?
I like how you like the... I understand why you like the Barnes buzzer beater more, because of your love of...
Like, half-court shots.
Horrible things.
No, I'm gonna get to it. My love of buzzer beaters was all completely wrong. It wasn't a buzzer beater.
No, it wasn't a buzzer beater.
He did it incredibly wrong. However...
Very early.
However, the joy... Just the Yeah, the pure panic or the confusion of the Detroit,
The Pranica, the
color
Pranica.
Teams. Well, the Detroit guy was the guy yelling, "What's he doing?" Which is the Pete Pranica, the Grizzlies guy. He was just like, "Oh, a shot from way downtown."
Yeah, he just went, "But let's forget about it."
Anyway, we'll get to that a little bit later. For breakfast, I had some blueberries.
Ah, what are they called? Superfood.
It could be. It's
superfood.
It's once again just stealing from the baby. I eat better now that I have a child because there's like healthy food items near. Right. Like, oh, there's carrots in my house.
I imagine.
What is that? A banana? We have avocado.
Don't get hooked on that, because then he's going to get to the point where he only eats cheese Ritz crackers, and you're stuck because that's what you're going to do. You're just going to snack on stuff. And you're going to have cheese log turds.
When Mickey D's. At what point does the baby book say to get the Cheez Ritz crackers for the 1 year old? Is that coming? How soon is that, Chuck?
Well, you haven't given up yet.
No,
it's coming.
No, my crappy ex wife feeds my kid crappy processed foods. So yeah.
Well, Chuck, cries. you had me. I mean, I'm not going to say chip off the old block.
Mm-hmm.
This is like into the woods.
Guys, what you don't know is...
You're the narrator slash father who eats at McDonald's for lunch and breakfast.
Well, hey, guys, I'm also a single dad who pays child support on time, so I have to, like, make sure that I get my budget in order.
Sondheim didn't write about that. Actually, nope. He probably did. I'm not familiar with all his work. I'd assume he did.
I think he wrote that one with Paul Simon, Songs of the Cake Man. It's about child support.
John, what'd you have for breakfast?
Sorrow.
Oh, a little... So both of us had emotions for breakfast.
I did. I'm still not over the Grizzlies' latest loss, and as we get to our best and worst of the week, there have been some happenings in the NBA that are confusing and putting me in the doldrums.
I'm sorry to hear it.
It's conspiratorial. It's systemic. I'm against it.
I hope we can...
Also, I've not eaten anything. I've had antibiotics.
This is not the most breakfast-filled podcast of our breakfast podcast. We are the number 3 breakfast podcast, I believe, in the world?
Well, I'll be damned.
But,
so there are 3.
Disney character breakfast, number 1. Number 2, I believe, is a men's church prayer breakfast from just a random church.
Is Disney character breakfast, is that really just an app where that's how you decide which Disney character you'll have breakfast with your creepy little kid at Disney World?
I assume it's something to that effect.
I think so.
Like many of the top podcasts in iTunes, there is no... Many.
So sorry.
There's no artwork or description. It just apparently is a thing that was accidentally uploaded, and it's like, oh, Disney. That's number 1.
You know what's also a thing? John selectively hating puns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll selectively hate them and selectively use them, and it's infuriating to me. Pick a side, brother.
If you make a bad one, I'll bring up the dictionary definition of pun being lowest form of humor. However, if one creeps into my tiny mind, I will wantonly throw it against the wall.
And then when you give him crap, he goes, dad joke, when he's not even a dad.
Well, that does seem like a good chance for now us. For us to get into our weekly ritual of our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in previous weeks. Is there anything that anyone needs to make amends for? I'll go.
Great broadcasting,
like
guys.
Like you do.
Give you guys a half second. You return to my gaze with blank stares. Vic Mackey?
Mm-mm.
I almost said Frank T.J. Mackey, but that would have been wrong.
Respect the pick. Respect.
Vic Mackey, the commish, Mr. Scott Skiles. I talked about you breaking the spirit of your backcourt of the future. However,
Depot off the bench is working.
Oladipo off the bench. He is his field goal percentage against backups is way higher, which doesn't sound...
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, who'd have thunk? But hey, not a lot of people try that. And he has his Orlando Magic playing, again, not the most beautiful form of basketball.
Right.
They are still below average in pace, even though there was a time there it looked like he was going to go three guards the whole time and just run and gun. But they're winning. They're 12-10. As of this recording, they're hanging in games.
When your guards can't shoot, you have to slow it down. You don't really have a choice.
Right. And Oladipo is... As we said, he's finding his stride, and Elfrid Payton, who's had the biggest shooting struggles, still struggling, but he's, I think he's making progress, and I don't know how much of that is Skiles enabling him or, you know, giving him the confidence to do what he's doing, but Scott Skiles so far, the early returns are kind of, they're better than what people expected, although many people thought he would make an immediate impact, maybe at the expense of their long-term mental happiness, and it's too early to say, but the first part, 12-10, I apologize, Scott Skiles. You have not broken your team's spirit yet.
That'll come.
Yes.
That'll come. Like Larry Bird says, it takes 3 years.
Why are we saying Victor Oladipo's doing well? Because he's coming off the bench and shooting 43%. He's not even shooting.
He's averaging 19 points a game off the bench where he's a starter. He was averaging 12.5.
But it's not, I don't think he's playing great basketball.
Better basketball.
It's still bad.
They're winning games,
but it's a better.
He's shooting enough.
It's a better bad.
Yeah, it's a better
bad.
We're
saying.
Okay. If it's a better bad, then we can.
43% from a shooting guard in today's NBA is like good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's their best shooting guard, I think, because it's Fournier and Elfrid, the other options.
I mean, the list of that small athletic and his game isn't purely shot creation. He gives you some of that defense, playmaking.
Him dunk on you.
But he is a volume scorer, and he is not finding his shot very well.
Right.
Just saying, he is doing much better. Again, the field goal percentage is significantly up now that he's coming off the bench.
Well, he's shooting 48% at the rim. It's not great for somebody who's supposed to be a dunker or finisher. He's shooting a ton of, you know, off the bench. And this is a small sample size, but he's shooting, you know, 14 long distance 20-foot shots.
Were you sponsoring the Basketball Reference Victor Oladipo page? How'd you have this all? This was not pre prepared.
No,
this is
I
the
had
stats,
this all.
Man.
You want Oladipo, stats? Chuck, got stats.
I want an apology, Chuck. That's
you want
what
an
I
apology
want.
For me? You know what we should apologize for? We didn't talk about it last week, and I just let it slip. We badmouthed Chris Humphreys on this here podcast last week.
As stretch for Chris Humphreys,
as we do,
stretch for Chris Humphreys,
stretch five. Some might say.
I don't. I just think it's absolutely tragic that we would make light of somebody who is suffering from a disease like Chris is.
Kardashianism?
He's recovering from Kardashian vagina poisoning. And and we're just sitting here laughing at him and calling him bad and all these things when we were critiquing the Wizards last week.
And the Wizards seem to need him.
Yeah, he's actually considering... Well, if he hadn't have met Kim Kardashian, he's probably an all-NBA player.
He's still averaging, 18-10 or
right.
whatever? Yeah.
So, guys, sorry, Chris. You know, if I see you ever, I'll give you a hug, and I'm sorry, you know, we made fun of you.
Tell me how that goes.
I will.
I'm going to apologize to Froggy Penis Puncher. Nicholas Batum. He's playing some of the best basketball of his career, fitting in solidly under Clifford's suddenly amazing team, just walloped the Heat with a triple double. And it was that, it was like that kind of like, they're like real basketball fans, triple double, like 10, 10, and 10.
Yeah.
With a block and a steal.
We're getting some of that contract year Batum.
Uh-huh. Blazers fans feeling the Heat. Maybe they could have built around the youngster.
He really parlayed his abysmal summer.
Yeah.
Playing in the that FIBA.
Yeah.
Into actually being great.
International basketball brings the best out of people.
Over the past three games, Batum is averaging 15.6, 9.6, and 8 assists a game.
Crikey.
9.6 rebounds. So yeah, they're 3-0 through that, and he's just he's one of those guys. I'm just going in and picking up stats.
I am really struggling to
keep a straight face.
Come to grips with all of a sudden Chuck with information at his fingers.
Isn't it great?
Throwing
I got a MacBook, you guys.
Yeah, Chuck.
Is that a new thing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Can I borrow that?
Beautiful.
It's pretty good. I like it. Well, those were
pour a beer in his MacBook and undo all of this.
Those were our. Oh yeah, where's that? Give us our.
Keith's got two screens. Chuck's got a screen. I have a cold Coors Light.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I was saying I want my old Chuck back. All right. Anyway, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Now, what is your steak and eggs? What is the best thing you saw this week?
Hinky gone.
Well, he's not gone.
Hinky gone in theory.
I just wanted you to keep saying hinky gone.
Effectively hinky gone.
He's been calangeloed.
That sounds.
You remember that Lamangelo?
I like
Rangelo,
to go to a
Calangelo.
I go to the.
I don't remember that.
It's an urban legend of the three black triplets.
No.
Named Lamangelo and Arangelo.
Yeah, Limoncello and Orange Jello.
Yeah, it's not true. It's just a racist bull. Story that people in the South tell.
Yeah,
people.
It's like a thing in the South. You're always like, well, I knew someone who they had, and it, yeah,
that no one knew Lamangelo.
I'm so confused.
It's actually Snoped.
That's because you live so far south. You don't actually in Miami. You didn't actually live in the South.
You go far enough, you end up in Havana.
Right. Keith lived in the South.
Right. I grew up south of Nashville.
Woof.
It was yes.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Colangelo.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I go to the spa, get myself a Colangelo.
Easy.
Right?
A high Colangelo.
It's a
coffee Colangelo?
Right. So Colangelo.
Really cleans you out.
Apparently, this is strange. I guess this is your best thing. We should talk 1 minute about this.
Okay.
It seems to be that the owners
went
whining to dad.
You are spoiling my worst of the week. Which is also hinky gone.
So do you want to talk? Well, let's talk about it then.
Okay.
So you're
moving on.
So your best of the week.
It's great that hinky's gone. The way he's gone is creepy and sternish, and like smacks of canceling the Chris Paul trade, and smacks of controlling the league like a puppet master. Do you know what I mean? it's like the commish is exerting too much power here.
Sounds good. I feel like you're offering me cream of wheat while I'm trying to enjoy my steak and eggs.
I know. So let me. I'll table my steak and eggs.
I'll table. I was going to say. Okay. All right. Chuck, what's your steak and eggs?
My steak and eggs, you guys, is the wonderful New World Order leading Greg Popovich, and welcoming back the insufferable. But healthy, and we're happy for it, Craig Sager, to the broadcast at his wonderful in-game interview that...
Whatever you call what he does.
What does
Craig
he do?
Sager is like the only one who makes it kind of worthwhile.
He urkels it.
So, yeah, Popovich basically welcomed him back after all these years, kind of in a heel turn, I guess would be the wrestling...
Face turn.
Yeah, that's a face turn. But then immediately...
Heel turned him
and goes, now
that's
ask me.
That's the fakey no faking.
Gives him a hug.
It's the Bret Hart Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Gives him a hug and then says, now go ahead and ask me an inane question.
Right.
Beautiful. And absolutely like Popovichian in tone.
Is Lucas Nogueira Brazilian?
So
while wearing a flannel jacket.
It was flannel. John, good call because
that's
all he wears.
I watch basketball.
My best thing is the Phoenix Sun, Mirza Teletovich.
Teletubby.
With a game-winning buzzer beater for the Suns.
Top 10 offensive rating player.
First of all,
zero screens, y'all. That came from my Coors Light.
That came out of his Coors Light can. First of all, Mirza Teletovic has the facial hair. What are we going to say? A musketeer? Perhaps a Jedi?
Whatever he's doing, I'm trying to emulate.
Yeah, so, but he... the reason
perhaps
it's
a Jedi.
The reason it's
Qui-Gon Teletovic. Right. I believe that.
Right. No, I think that's...
How about just Teletovic? Tela. Ooh. Teletovic. That's a Star Wars name.
That'll work.
He worships
Star Not Vader. Only was it just a nice buzzer-beating play to beat the Bulls, I'm happy for the Phoenix Suns, who I'm guessing had lost something like their last seven buzzer beaters.
Close games.
In their, I'm not talking about like in a row. I'm saying they'd been involved like last year. They lost a ton of buzzer beaters.
Some ball beaters.
And they had just in the game before lost a buzzer beater to my and John's Memphis Grizzlies. Chuck,
I'm coming along.
Suck it.
I'm coming along. I'll be a Grizz fan eventually.
It's, yeah. As soon as the Heat play like maybe as soon as they make play the same number of road games as home games.
Or blown out by the Hornets a few more times.
Yeah, maybe you're going to like trade us a second round draft pick for Hassan Whiteside because...
Might do.
Because you just worked at Chalmers.
Still loving that Diamond Rio.
Chalmers.
Anyway, those were our steak and eggs. Now our cream of wheat. The opposite of that. What's the worst thing you saw this week? Your cream of wheat worst of week.
Hinky gone.
As John already...
elucidated.
Yep.
Let's slip. I feel like the commish has sort of orchestrated this, and he's kind of gotten into
the... pretty much announced that the commish orchestrated this.
That's creepy to me. That's not the way this whole free market thing's supposed to work, brother.
Laissez-faire.
Let them do what they're going to do. Am I glad that the Sixers may try again? Certainly. But it's like when Stern nullified the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers, which was just, you know, bizarre.
It was very bizarre.
I hate it when stuff like this happens. I don't like seeing the Overlord. I like to pretend the Overlord isn't there.
I don't. I'm curious.
Chuck sees all the angles. I like having the shroud.
He likes the veil.
I'm curious what it actually means, because Jerry Colangelo is 76. He is not. He's a 76er.
Spry 76.
Spry 76.
Could be dressing up a pig.
Yeah, and it's like he's not going to move to Philadelphia. He's not going to be immediately physically. Like with the organization, he's going to be doing it, you know, remotely. And I know we're in the information age and everything. And Phil Jackson can make trades from, you know,
somebody needs to slap the Shirley Temple pitcher out of Joel Embiid's hands, though.
Well, so
who's going to do that?
And also, Jerry Colangelo, he's like an elder statesman of the NBA.
Right.
He was named Executive of the Year a lot, but he never won a title. He never built a championship team. The best team he built was the Barkley Suns, the '93 team, which was a fantastic team. Just ran into the Jordan Bulls. I don't know what he's going to do that hasn't been done other than dress up and put a good face on what's happening.
Look, this is the commish serving as Robert De Niro in Casino as Ace Rothstein,
mm-hmm.
sending over his Don Rickles, who is Jerry Colangelo, to potentially fire the Joe Bob Briggs that was Hinky.
The pit boss.
So
I'm just glad that the process is no longer trusted. But I can't help but be dismayed at the way the trust was broken.
I understand. I mean, we've spent a lot of energy talking about, I think all of us come down on the fact that the process was kind of, our opinion is it's terrible.
Flawed.
It's they're backing themselves into a corner, giving themselves only one hope of becoming good, where we see all the teams that become good happens through any number of different ways.
Like, right.
Not all of them are getting the number one pick, because even with the number one pick, you get an Odin.
Sure.
You know, it's like you don't, or
don't
a bar,
act like Anthony Bennett doesn't exist.
Right. It's like you don't know what's going to happen. And so doing this, they're taking money from their fans. They've dressed up this idea. They're selling hope.
Right.
And it's like
they've stopped
it's
selling
state,
hope.
It's state sponsored hope.
Yeah.
But so one thing I thought was really interesting was Adam Silver had a quote 10 days ago. Talking about the Trailblazers and how competitive the Trailblazers were doing, he said, and I quote, "I appreciate that they're the Blazers rebuilding in a way where they aren't bottoming out. People appreciate competitive teams."
We called that the stealthiest rebuild in the league. We applauded it.
Right. And so now you take that quote and you put it into like a week later, he apparently has implored the Sixers to add an executive to their team.
I get it. But it's like when you read that FDR let Pearl Harbor happen, you're like, I don't want to know that.
Mm-mm. A little false
flag. Can't I just have my new deal? I just have my new deal without knowing that?
Thing is, they all want us to trust the process, but I have a hard time processing the trust.
I've been waiting for you to do it, Chuck.
Doop, doop, doo, 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 doop, doop, doo, doo.
I'm not sure what just happened.
He's the stats man. D-dot-dot-D-dot-dot.
Puns and stats. That's what I'm bringing to this.
This MacBook's gone to his head.
Mm-hmm.
That's
when are you going to put like a Biggie Smalls sticker on that song?
Never,
bitch?
Never. I'm not never defacing the.
Speaking of which, you guys ready to get our Death Row glamour shot in our Porzingis jerseys?
Oh, yeah. When are we going to do that?
Because we're winners.
As soon as I get that gift card.
Mm.
Rabble winners.
Can we? Yeah.
I'll move on to my cream of wheat. My cream of wheat is actually the Matt Barnes half-court shot that we talked about.
That we were saving this for the Grizzlies epilogue.
No, this is fine. This is for everyone. This is a...
bad process, good results.
Bad process, good results. It gave me no joy. It kind of...
It gave me joy.
If you see Jaeger, eat a little wager flying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I did have a wager on that game. But Jaeger wanted that timeout.
Well, everyone in the world wanted the timeout. If you get a rebound with 6 seconds left, they had multiple timeouts.
Matt Barnes is just too smooth.
You don't... He got that rebound and just took off like he heard Derek Fisher was at his old lady's place.
Yeah. Oh,
he was moving.
Matt Barnes doesn't seem like a guy who likes OT.
I mean, well...
He's got to get to the strip club.
I'm just saying, they were losing.
Yes.
Like this was, for me watching it, it was, you know, the no, you know, the what are you doing?
Yes.
Like, I didn't give the yes.
You just went, no, ha, ha, ha.
I went, no, and then just mouth agape.
Yeah.
Just what?
I caught the highlight, but I didn't catch the end of the game. Did the Pistons have a timeout at the end of that?
Yeah,
because there was one.
Yeah,
second
yeah. The Markieff Morris. Excuse me. I maintain.
Markieff Morris got off.
I maintain it's Markieff.
Yeah. I think there was a bait and switch.
I maintain Markieff was the one who went to Detroit. But anyway,
he got a contested three.
Marcus Morris, and according to Stan Van Gundy, did not run the play. Van Gundy was saying, you know, like, yeah, that was a crazy shot that Barnes hit. He shouldn't have taken it. He obviously made it, but that wasn't the game. We threw the game away, and then once again on our final play of the game, we don't run the play that's called. I don't know if the play that called is going to work, but we'll never know because they haven't run the play yet. So the Matt Barnes thing, and again, it's like you did. I'm trying to think of another, like a parallel in another sport, and the best I could come up with would be like if your team is in field goal range in football. So like, say you're down and you're playing for the field goal. And instead of just like the quarterback's under pressure, instead of just throwing the ball away, he blindly, Brett Favre underhand throws it into a crowd of people and it's maybe intercepted and then fumbled for a touchdown or something.
I was going to say, I think you're referring to what they call gunslingering.
Right. Or like, it's like when a guy scores a touchdown where, like I think it happened this week with the Packers where James Starks fumbled the ball forwards for like 15 yards.
Yeah.
And James Starks just feels like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Which is technically supposed to be illegal.
Yeah. That's
the holy roller.
That's the holy roller, right?
Kenny Stabler, baby.
But like no one knows when these plays are allowed anymore because...
NFL doesn't know what their rules are.
Anyway, so I don't know.
NBA doesn't know what their rules are. What happened to 3 second violations?
So I felt... Oh, I know you're referring to Mark Cuban calling out the...
what the hell happened?
Defensive 3 seconds. However, I saw that repudiated today.
Yeah,
on
Gasol.
Yeah. But the fact that a miracle poorly done play gave the Grizzlies the win just depressed me. I'm like, they should have lost again. They got beat by 37, and then they should have lost, but we got the luckiest play.
That's why
he
suck.
He shot the ball with 4 seconds left.
I rule. Grizzlies rule.
No.
Chuck, what's the word?
What's your worst, Chuck?
My worst is Kyle Singler, a user on Reddit.
Full stop.
He's
the stats man.
Kyle Singler, a user on Reddit. His name is Thievius Raconis.
Pardon you.
He had a very well thought out post giving us highlights on why Kyle Singler's awful. In 193 minutes played, he has 0 assists.
Whiteside-ian.
Very. JaVale McGee is second in terms of most minutes played without an assist, and he's only had 45 minutes played. Shooting splits of 23, 20, and 5.
Not great.
He has a
not great, Bob.
Negative 1.6 EPR.
Wow.
He
What's
is,
an EPR?
I mean a PER.
Oh, yeah, I was like, that's.
I knew what you were saying.
That's like
I smell what you were cooking.
That's like when we made up the Adolf.
An EPR is
Mean who dribbles off leg or foot.
EPR is the enlisted performance review that you get in the Air Force.
There you go.
I never got any good ones.
Right.
Say yeah.
What?
Sprained ankle on beer run.
I did.
I know.
Pretty much. He's averaging.
We pay your salary off that.
You do. You give me a pension. Thanks for your taxpayer dollars. He is averaging 8.3 fouls per 48 minutes. And he is on a 5-year, $25 million contract.
Glue guy.
It's because he went away from the hair.
Yep.
And then he kind of got the hair back. Yep. And now I feel like he's wavering. He's oscillating between what he should do with the hair. I think it's all in the hair.
There are games he looks like Jeremy Lin, and then there are games he looks like Luke Babbitt. Just make a decision, son.
Mm-hmm. We're talking hair. We're talking hairstyles.
Hairstyles.
Just for any listeners.
Well, his hair, he just looks like an emo. Like if the Hanson kids did emo.
He's gone back to emo-y.
Yeah.
It's that Oklahoma meth lifestyle.
Flip, yep. Front haircut.
I feel
he loves.
I still kind
los desarrapecidos.
I 20% blame the organization though. They don't know how to use their players. I feel like if he went back to, you know, like if he could just get back to the Pistons, just to play on the Pistons bench, just to give
Stan
him
a, Van.
Just
Stan give him Van space. Made him some money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Stan Van hooked that dude up.
Yeah.
All right. Those were our worst of weeks. Now
I'm excited about this next segment.
Well, yeah, it's going to be the
coccyx. I'm going to pull it out of screen.
Coccyx back. To
coccyx? You keep saying coccyx. Like it's the bone.
That's our inside joke.
Okay. I didn't know that was the inside. I just thought you were
calling out our inside jokes, Jim.
Sorry.
I also can't say coccyx. It takes too much work. You got to put the tongue right behind the T. It's really hard.
You have to pronounce it.
Drogic.
I
know.
Drogic.
Waffle House presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts with a little bit of a quarter pole reckoning. We are. Everyone has played at least 25% of their games.
Are we going to do some awards?
We can.
Give me that Coach of the Year, Keith.
Oh, you want to go in and start with the Coach of the Year?
I'm ready.
I was going to say Hairstyle of the Year and just give it to Jeremy Lin with the new slick back.
George Hill says, what?
The bad, was it the back bun now he's got? The slick back back
actually,
bun?
Actually, George Hill says, what? What?
It's kind of
what,
a...
What?
Give it to
because I were
all night long.
Let me see. It could be, yeah. It could be George Hill too. I don't. It's hard to get. No, you want to give a Coach of the Year award
after you? Mine's a rebuttal.
Oh well, I told John earlier. I thought my Coach of the Year. If I had to announce it, we're not going to do all the normal awards, but this is a very traditional award.
Yeah,
I would give it to Steve Clifford for transforming the Bobnets into a murderous buzzsaw. Which eviscerates team.
We've been over this. It's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist who's coaching that team.
It's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist being hurt or just coaching? Drawing them plays up like that yeah. article, that feel-good article
that
you
feel-good
read.
Feel-good article.
Was that in a Reader's Digest?
I referenced. Yeah, I believe it was. I got it off a Upworthy column. I had to click like 16 different things to get to.
Right, right.
The correct answer, though, Steve Kerr.
Oh, yeah, Steve Kerr.
It's Steve Kerr.
23-0.
23-0. Counter me. What can you say to that?
He has
Steve
not
Kerr
lost a game.
Hasn't coached a game.
Has not lost a game.
I think Steve Kerr going 23-0 with that roster. I'm more impressed with Steve Clifford.
Nah.
Turning these bums into, you know, right now they're tied for second in the East. They are going to murder the Grizzlies on Friday night.
Steve Kerr,
which I will be there watching,
has 27 straight wins dating back to last year.
But he technically doesn't.
I did.
Well, I mean,
look, you guys are all over covering both your bases. He's not a coach who has wins, but also Luke Walton doesn't have any wins. Like, who's
Luke
winning
Walton
these
has
games?
Nothing. Luke Walton has tickets to Phil Lesh and friends. That's what he's got.
Steph Curry's winning these games.
Jam band, man.
Steve is pulling the strings from afar. From afar, from his bed. He's like the coach in Major League wheeling his team on. Mm-hmm. I love this British. I'm not gonna. Luke Walton kind of looks like Tom Berenger now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Little.
He's not as hardened.
No.
Fresh face Berenger.
Young Berenger.
Long muscle, flat muscle Berenger.
So Bill Simmons said something on his podcast this week, which is.
Why are you listening to that?
Well, it's generally unlistenable now. Yeah, however,
Pat's Homerism, Boston Homerism out of control.
He did say a really good thing. talking about Steph Curry, how people are like, you know, we're going to see all these shooters coming up and now the league's going to become like this. And we're going to see all these imitators and who's going to be the next Curry. And he was like, no,
there isn't another one.
We're not going to see this again. Like, this is like the offensive numbers he's putting up and right. then just the shooting skill we're seeing.
The type
likely
of,
irreplaceable.
The type of player you thought was Steph Curry in college, like the people you would have said were the next Steph Curry's looking at their development are Isaiah Cannon and CJ yeah. McCollum.
Gross.
Or for, you know, JJ Redick's. And I mean, those are the type of players he was in college. Steph Curry's a different.
He's, yeah, his
song unto oneself, to quote.
Right.
The Yawper.
So we're going to, we just need to enjoy. I think that's what we're doing. Just enjoying.
We are.
That this is the greatest ride and we might not see a shooter again. I mean, his, all these games where he's hitting 8 threes, 9 threes, 10 threes.
He's a pervert. He's a basketball pervert.
He's just doing things he does on the court. He's not asking consent. He's being very forceful with his, I'm joking. He's a gentleman. He's a very good gentleman.
Everyone says he's a gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
What's all next? Right?
Yeah, how
do we get out of that?
Where do we go from there, Chuck?
Yikes. Sorry, boys.
I was going to say, who is either your most surprising or most disappointing team? Because I feel like we pretty much have a feel for a lot of these teams. For you know, looking even at our over unders, like who are we the most?
Well, hands down, it's the Pelicans, right?
I called that though.
Did I mean, you?
That's a poorly constructed team.
I just thought they were just when you got that dude, when Anthony Davis and that tempo is there. I just thought that they would at least be clawing for eighth. And I thought I had them in the playoffs this year, but
here's the thing: they're not because of the mediocrity of the West. They're not totally eliminated, and they are underachieving. But didn't we all go under on them? Like, I mean, I think I went under.
Chuck did.
But anyway.
Way under, mostly because they can't keep people healthy. But it's happening again.
But definitely the Pelicans are very disappointing. I would say for me, my most disappointing is the Milwaukee Bucks, just because I know we didn't think they were going to be awesome, but they were kind of the it team in the offseason. They had a lot of positive buzz. Everyone was very optimistic. They're not going to make the playoffs. Like, there's like no way they make the playoffs. Mm. I mean, there are 10 teams in the East who not only are ahead of them, look very much better than they do.
I see what you guys are saying, but I don't see how you can't say Wizards.
That's fine, too. See, I thought the Wizards were going to be crappy, kind of. Like,
yeah, but you still had them in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Rockets?
They're not in the playoffs right now.
No, legit. I mean, the Wizards are the same.
Rockets.
Rockets may not make the playoffs. They're 8th in West right now.
There's a lot of teams.
So, yeah, we didn't know anything at
There's
the beginning
four
of the season.
There's four teams to pick from. We just nailed all four. Those are your four choices.
Well,
the listener may decide.
I think the Wizards. I see the Wizards maybe having a chance of making the playoffs
after they fire Whitman. Absolutely,
but I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't. I can't imagine.
But then they'll never win on the road.
I can't imagine
in the playoffs.
The Bucks
in
getting the playoffs. There. I was also. I guess I kind of let mine in my coach of the year. I would say for me the Hornets are still. I mean, I picked them.
No, I think 20s. I think it's a clear Steve Clifford Award.
Yeah.
Since we literally cannot give it to Luke Walton.
Officially we can. Is there any other teams that have been positively surprising you or are just kind of overachieving?
Well, most certainly. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of teams that you have to go Carlisle again. I think you have to talk about Quinn Snyder.
Right.
I think if you're not talking about Frank Vogel, then you can't talk about anybody besides Vogel.
I think the Pacers, for me, the Pacers, even though they've dropped a couple now, they are still very surprising. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of it is. I'm worried about the regression of Paul George. I don't believe he can be this good.
Right.
You know, he's been so good, and that's actually a similar take with the Raptors. We thought the Raptors would be probably the best team in the Atlantic Division, but they're actually being better than I assumed. They're defending really
they're getting
well.
Ridiculous stuff out of DeMar DeRozan right now.
And they're also getting ridiculous stuff from Kyle Lowry,
right.
Which, again, this
but,
is...
But that I understand.
We've
he
seen
did
it
that
before.
Last year.
Yeah, he did.
DeMar DeRozan, I haven't seen him put a stretch like this together in a while.
You look at the East in general, the 8th seed is 2 games out of the number 1 spot in the East.
Well,
you know, it's... I think the parity kind of is caught up, and the Cavs yet to get Kyrie back. Obviously, when he returns, it's going to turn into a different juggernaut. But everybody else in the back isn't as bad as we thought they were.
Well, there's I mean, we as a team should apologize maybe to the Eastern Conference. What happened to our Eastern Conference? There's 10 teams over 500.
They're whooping the trick that is the Western Conference.
Yeah, they're putting it looks kind of like a balanced is kind of happening. I guess it's age on the, in the West with the, you know, the Dirks and the Kobe's and the Duncan's kind of taking a step back. Oklahoma City kind of figuring out their, you know,
not really
injury
about
stuff
yet.
You know, the Jazz not there yet.
It's too soon.
The Rockets taking a dive and a dump. So yeah, it's an easy.
The Rockets are a mess.
Yeah, it's a.
John called this 2 years ago. He was wrong last year. He's right this year.
Really wrong.
He was really wrong.
Speaking of the, like, as you mentioned, the Wizards. I might even go ahead and give like Bradley Beal the least improved.
Yeah, he was that way. He's because he make was this huge All Star.
Yeah, he's supposed to make these leap because he's put together some stretches and he had an incredible playoff run before. And I also think there's something about just how his jump shot is so pretty. I feel like when I see his jump shot, I'm like, he should be more like a Ray Allen.
It's like Eric Gordon Jr.
It just looks so nice. But then it's like he's fragile. And then two, he hasn't put it together like consistently. And it seems like Wall and Beal, you could package anybody with those people with what I dream them to be. Mm-hmm. But it's still not happening. John lays it at the feet of Coach Whitman.
Absolutely. It's Randy, like the, you fool.
He's the cat who brings the dead bird. Says,
they should hire Randy
Newman. I brought
Newman.
This for you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Randy Newman.
You got a friend
hire.
In me?
Mm-hmm. Rednecks.
Rednecks.
We're all waiting.
Say no more.
Don't want no short people around here.
If you guys were to pick, this is going to be kind of hard, but so if you had to pick an All-NBA team so far, 1/4 of the way through. And I think I'd show a lot of leeway on that center spot.
No, there's a center. Andre Drummond.
I embrace positionless basketball.
Andre Drummond.
You don't want to have to pick a center.
No, I'd
rather pick a forward.
I think there's too many other guys who are playing out of their gourd.
Gotta pick a center. Andre Drummond.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
What are you going to do?
So then go give us what you got.
Oh, I can't even make up my mind. I'm going to let LeBron or Durant or Paul George choose who guards the five.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George is at the four.
I'm not worried about it.
You listen to Larry Legend.
LeBron's at my point center. I mean,
if we're going to build the best team.
Or how about this? If you're forcing my hand,
right.
I'll take Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Draymond Green over Andre Drummond. You can keep piling up these rebound stats. I don't care.
I don't think so. I don't think Draymond Green's. If you're doing the positionless thing, I don't think he's one of the five best in the league.
Oh, what are you, crazy?
If you get into the positionless thing, I think I don't think Drummond or Draymond make it. But that's by virtue of them, you know.
I think what Draymond does is borderline irreplaceable.
You take Draymond over Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Paul George this year.
What are you saying?
That's
No. You forced my hand. Right. I'm saying if I have to do a center, I'm saying Draymond is center.
Oh, that unstoppable lineup that they were.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 minutes a game or 20 minutes a week.
I think
for coach of the month.
So we're picking four spots because Steph Curry,
right?
No, you know, LeBron. We're not going to be weird. I think LeBron's arguable.
Really?
Because I think Paul George. I mean, if we're including Kevin Durant, even though he's missed,
Kevin Durant's been great.
He's been incredible.
Westbrook's been incredible.
So I might take Kawhi Leonard over LeBron James because I mean, not only is Kawhi, you know, the top defender in the league,
he's also leading the league in 3-point shooting percentage.
So I think I would take. Even though, again, LeBron James has been great, I would take, I believe, Kawhi over LeBron. I mean, I always consider it. That's why I think it's really tough. So if I had to pick based on the performance so far, and again, I feel like when we did this last year, Kyle Lowry was there again. Like he was in the MVP discussion at this point last year, and he tailed off horribly.
And I can't put him in there either.
I think I would go Steph Curry and then Kawhi, Paul George, Durant, and then I can't decide between Lowry or Westbrook. I think I would go Lowry, actually.
Now, here's my question. Are we, okay, snapshot, season's over right now.
Yeah.
Who's our, okay.
Yeah.
Not that, who do we project going forward will?
I can't see the future, Chuck.
So here's my, yeah, because if that's the case, and my projections, I think Kawhi Leonard's probably going to end up being an all, you know, all NBA
all
player.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet LeBron, his offense drops off and we don't even discuss him at the end of the year.
Could be.
Possible. I don't, I would never bet on a player in
and you know, like Peter Vesey's voting for Carmelo or something. So, I mean, like,
so you got, I,
Porzingis.
If you have to go with, if you have to,
I'd consider him.
If you have to go with a center, which may occur, there's arguments to be made for, Anthony Davis.
No.
No,
there's too bad. They have what, 5 wins?
Yeah, but he's still playing.
If you have to go center, it's Drummond and nothing.
Drummond or Whiteside.
It's not Whiteside.
His name.
Get out
2 weeks. 2 week moratorium.
Sorry,
Josh.
I can't say his name.
You don't get an MVP for blocks.
No, his PERs,
his defensive rating is
defensive
top in the league.
Rebound rate almost as high as.
But their offense is their that starting
stagnant.
Lineup has been so lacking.
Yeah.
So John, can you come up your name and your four? You're going to go. I'm freeing you from the shackles of center if you want.
Okay, I will. I think it's Curry.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's LeBron.
Sure.
I think it's Paul George.
Yep.
I think right now it's Kawhi Leonard. And then I would I'd probably go Westbrook.
Yep.
I would probably leave Durant off.
Very fair.
By virtue of playing less games, that's the only reason.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
makes
sense. He's played 15 games. Yeah, I'd probably go Leonard, George, James, Westbrook, Clark.
So we all put Leonard in the top five.
Yeah.
Right now, you can't take him off.
We're so advanced.
You can't take him off. Now, do I think he keeps this offensive stuff going? No, I do not. But so advanced. So advanced.
He's never shown regression.
That is pretty good.
He's always gotten better every year. I think this might be his new
he's
normal.
He's not going to keep singing every three. And to the same element, Paul George probably won't keep up this offensive flurry either.
So... Now, actually, as I said, I can't see the future, but now let's try to see the future.
Do it.
Who? Let's take a look at it. It is the Christmas season. Ye old standings.
Ah.
Let's go. Talking about the Western Conference. What 8 teams do you think are going to make the playoffs? After seeing 1/4 of the season... Even though a lot of these statistical models have the Grizzlies only winning 10 more games because their point differential is so terrible.
It couldn't have been helped.
And will keep being terrible. Bunch of 1-point wins and 35-point losses.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start. So I guess the way to do this is I'm assuming we all are saying Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, Clippers.
Absolutely.
So those four are definitely in. So... I'll go the Jazz, the Grizzlies, the Rockets, and the The Jazz,
the
Rockets, the Grizzlies, and...
The Mavs. You have the top 8 teams.
Yeah, those are the 8 teams that are currently in...
I could see the Mavs not doing it.
You wrong. Darren Williams back and better than ever.
Although, I don't think... Yeah, I mean, the Hornets are only 7 games back. Not the Hornets, excuse me. The Pelicans. The Pellies. Only 7 games back. I feel like...
I think there's a drop-off between the 7th team, which
could
is
be.
The Jazz, and the rest of them. The Rockets can certainly turn it around, but I think the Suns, Wolves, Blazers, Nuggets, Kings, Pelicans, Lakers are cut below.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very... I think it's an easy call right now.
I think the Mavs are overachieving, and I know while they have guys Wes Matthews and Chandler Parsons who are on the mend,
right?
I still am concerned about them again being shut down for some time and missing some time, and then the rest of their guys who are playing so well are very, very old.
Yeah,
Nowitzki, Darren Williams, and Zaza.
Carlisle's doing things like, you know, pulling in Lucas Nogueira and stuff. You know, there's just,
Warlock's going to Warlock.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Now, you're talking about the Raptors. Nogueira's on the Raptors.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the who are they getting insane
Dwight Powell.
Yeah, Dwight Powell.
He's doing some things,
Dwight
right?
Powell. And Zaza. Zaza with like a huge...
Zaza's incredible.
2020.
He's the reason the Bucks Man, if the Bucks could get back Brandon Knight, Jared Dudley, and Zaza Pachulia, they'd be unstoppable.
What I'm saying is there are some franchises, like the aforementioned Raptors, like the Spurs, like the Mavs, who are able to pull guys out of the D League and instantly get numbers out of them because the organizations are structured correctly.
We didn't mention Dwayne Casey
right.
because of the Toronto's playoff I struggles.
I think that's a Masai Ujiri thing.
But again, once again, like that team defending is really surprising. Like right. they're playing really well. All right, so you, I guess
Jonas going down actually helped them defensively.
It really has. It's gonna be so strange when he comes back. See what happens.
He's not gonna get the minutes he had.
Yep. So I guess we will all agree. I kind of feel like the Mavericks are in trouble. The Grizzlies also a little bit of an alert. You know, right. could be in trouble, but I think the Grizzlies are going to be 500 at least, and
they'll be that eighth seed.
I think 500 gets you in. All right, so let's go to the Eastern Conference, which
now it gets weird.
This is where it gets crazy. Are we ready to concede? Who are we ready to? This is just nuts. So the Cavs are in, right? The Cavs are in.
Cavs are way in,
and I think the
Raptors Hawks are in.
Raptors Hawks, okay.
I think Celtics are in, and I think that's where you stop with people being in.
All right, so this is exciting.
Right.
So Cavs, Hawks, mm-hmm. Raptors, Celtics.
I think those teams are going to make it.
So no, I agree. Hornets, not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed.
Heat, not guaranteed.
Certainly not.
Certainly not.
Pacers, as much as I want to praise Vogel till the end of days. Bulls not guaranteed. I don't know what Hoiberg's doing over there right now.
So I think...
So here's the craziest thing looking at the standings. So the Thunder are 9 games out of first in the West, right. and the Nets are 8 games out of first in the East.
You can cancel the Nets ticket, though.
Oh, no, I get it. But that's how crazy it is to me that there's just, it's all just a logjam of, the Knicks are 5 games, or right. 3 games out of the 8th seed.
Only teams that are out are Nets and Sixers.
Yeah, those two teams have no chance. The Bucks, while we were crapping on them, they can go on a, 6-7 game winning streak.
They have good coach, they have talent.
Be in the playoff hunt, right?
They made a terrible trade.
I'm ready to make some commitments to some playoff teams.
Okay.
So I agree, Cavs, Hawks, Raptors, Celtics. I think the Bulls, the Hornets, the Pacers, and the Heat. So I'm
that
leaving.
Sounds fine, but I bet the Pistons get in.
That'd be, so yeah, I'm leaving out the Pistons. I'm leaving out the Magic. I'm leaving out the, and then I don't think the Wizards, Knicks, or Bucks can make up any ground.
I feel like our evil commissioner overlord may make the Knicks win.
This is my East. Cavs, Raptors, Hawks, Pacers, Heat, Hornets.
Yep.
And Wizards. Bulls.
Celtics.
So same.
It's either Wizards or the Bulls.
The Celtics are making the playoffs. Huh. I promise. I promise the Celtics will make the playoffs.
So you said Cavs, Hawks, Raptors, Bulls, Hornets, Pacers, Heat, and who?
The Wizards.
I think you said the Heat twice.
I said the Heat 3 times.
Keep saying the Heat. loves the Heat.
It goes Cavs, Heat, Pistons, Heat, Pacers, Heat, and Celtics.
Perfect. So, John, who are you thinking?
I feel like I said mine, but I'll say it again.
Say it again. Just one more for closing.
All right. Here we go. In the 8th seed, I think we will see.
Oh, you're doing an order. I love it.
I think we will see the Knicks.
That's crazy. I love it.
In the 7th seed, no I think chance. We will see the Pistons.
God, this is great.
In the 6th seed, I think we'll see the Celtics. And then pretty much I have exactly the top 5 seeds. So that would be Cavs, Hornets, Raptors, Hawks, Pacers.
That's awesome.
I do not see the Heat making it.
You don't see the Heat make it? Heat or Bulls missing the playoffs?
I think we...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think they could both miss.
Bold, and I love it.
Well, I'm not very smart.
That's perfect. All right, that takes us now to the award segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is awarded to Kobe Bryant each week. It's technically awarded to the worst performance and a box score, with normally emphasis on poor shooting numbers.
Are we going to get a James Harden appearance?
Actually, we're not.
Son of a... Didn't take enough shots, did he?
After last week's just...
Glut.
Out of control shooting debacles.
Right.
We do have some very not good performances but at least
you do.
At least has a.
There's not 80 of them.
A more manageable sample size. I will say honorable mention goes to Boogie.
Yeah.
Who in a 3-game stretch went 4-for-17, 5-for-20, 4-for-16. That is awful.
Commented after the game, playing like something I can't say.
That's right.
I wish he had said straight trash.
Straight trash. Here are our nominees in chronological order as they happened during the week. Paul George went 4-for-17 with 11 points and 5 turnovers, and they lost to the Trailblazers.
Regression towards the mean.
It's coming. Enjoy him while he's here.
Trade him in fantasy.
Kobe Bean Bryant in a loss to the Pistons. 2-for-15. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 turnovers. And then
we'll miss you, Kobe.
And then CJ McCollum, who
he's gonna start showing up more and more.
Who did a 4-for-21 last week? This week did an encore, 5-for-21. He did have 17 points and 5 steals, which is very impressive. So
I vote Kobe Bean.
It is obviously Kobe Bean Bryant who has taken the joy out of this somewhat.
I think at this point we need to have a serious discussion about renaming this award. At the end of this season.
The Kobe Bean Bryant Memorial International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Yeah.
That's probably what it's going to be.
It makes iShop a little less, it makes it less wieldy, but.
KBBM iShop?
Kabibim shop.
Obviously.
We got a baby. I eat a boy. Bye, weep, grind, I'm weeping anyway.
All right. Par fade away before we get to a meaty Grizzlies epilogue. What are we guys looking forward to this week?
Same as ever was. Warriors watch.
Yeah, you have to watch every Warriors game. This is crazy. Yeah, this is historic.
You can't do that.
We need to mention briefly, while Kobe Bean Bryant is having the award named after him, this might be a conspiracy, Chuck. I got very confused watching basketball on Wednesday night. The Lakers were in overtime and in a close game with the Timberwolves, and Kobe Bryant was not on the court. And the young guys, D'Angelo Russell and the Kentucky...
Julius Randle.
Thank you. Julius Randle is... I'm very old now. I'm a very old man.
And Larry Nance.
What's the...
And Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah, so the young guys were on the court mere days after Byron Scott announced he was only going to give them 20 minutes of playing time a game.
To hell with you, Byron Scott.
And Laker Nation went crazy. So... Rumor is Kobe Bryant told Byron Scott to let the young guys go. Just let him go. So, my thought is someone close to Kobe, or maybe perhaps even Kobe, does Kobe have the awareness?
There's no one. Kobe doesn't have any friends.
That's close.
Everyone hates him.
Yeah. The computer that raised Kobe.
Right. Jelly Bean Bryant.
Right. Telling him, like, how you're being perceived so poorly and your image is being so tarnished. Maybe it got to him where he realized the best PR move...
A little altruism.
...was to do the altruism to take one... He's like, I'm terrible, but my coach is worthless and won't take me out.
And what was the result of that game?
So he took himself out. Well, they lost a close one. But the Timberwolves are nothing to shake your head at. They're very decent, especially when Carl Anthony Towns is doing his thing.
Maybe he just saw all those young Timberwolves and was like,
I don't want
maybe, just maybe.
No Moss.
I'm going to get my swatted.
You saw how fast Zach LaVine is.
Yeah. Zach LaVine, and also he's playing very, very decent. I'll give him very decent.
They give him enough minutes for him not to stink anymore.
So
now that he's 17 or whatever.
I guess it's not a full-fledged conspiracy, but I feel like something needs to get to the bottom of what exactly happened. I don't trust Kobe to take himself out. And I don't trust Byron Scott to take him out.
Less a conspiracy, but more of just a reason, matter of thought.
Maybe just, yeah. I'm too cynical about whatever happened that Kobe Bryant got him out of the game. But anyway, we're looking forward to the Warriors keep winning.
You know, he could have just gotten tired. He's 40.
I don't believe it. It's never happened before. All right. You guys, thanks for listening to this episode. If you want to give us a review on iTunes, it helps us out, raises us in the charts. Also follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. And like us on Facebook, buy a funny t-shirt. Seriously, how's it going? At FastBreakBreakfast.BigCartel.com.
Follow us on Rabble.
Oh yeah, we're on Rabble.
Rabble!
do that again soon. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right. Grizzlies epilogue. It is an eventful. We had a a blowout sandwich.
Peaks and valleys, zeniths and nadirs.
It is the nadirs are so low,
unbelievable.
And then the Grizzlies bounce back with some buzzer beaters. So
That's called false hope, my friend.
So the Grizzlies are one borderline miracle half court shot,
and one borderline and one, miracle right. alley oop.
Dunk
out of at, from at, inbounds play
at,
dunk
at the buzzer from being in shambles.
They are in shambles, Keith. The Grizzlies are in shambles.
They can't be. I agree, sort of, they're so perplexing. They are, you know, comfortably in the playoff race in
they
playoff
have,
positioning.
They have good players.
They have good players. They are 5-1 on the second night of back to backs,
right?
Which is strange. They have an incredible record against teams that are not clearly better than them. To which those teams, they walk like the villagers to Khan.
Yes.
And say, Genghis, please slaughter us now before we have to actually fight you in war.
Right.
They volunteer themselves for the slaughter. So I don't...
It's depressing. It's a depressing team to watch at times. It's not fun to watch at all.
It's absolutely depressing. Yeah. It is soul-crushing, the losses.
Remember when we were like a league pass team? Those days are over.
Fun to watch.
Unless you like, lemmings to the foul line. I feel bad showing my friends Grizzlies games.
So what do we think? Is it just the problem of Tony Allen is too old? Zach Randolph is too old? The rest of the guys are what?
I just think that the style of play is outdated.
I think my biggest issue with the style of play is, I guess I have two main issues. It's not a style of play issue. One is I feel like there's obviously a couple of wrong lineups.
Yes.
It's obviously wrong. Like Tony Allen and Jeff Green with Zach and Mark is obviously wrong.
Right.
But it keeps happening.
Yeah, it's a logjam. And I don't mean that in like a minute's logjam. I mean it's like when those four guys are on the court together, the paint is packed. And we can't spread out. We can't run an offense.
Right. So, and then we have other lineups where Jeff Green and like Courtney Lee also, Jeff Green, Mark, and Zach, like literally can't play together.
Right.
Like we need to get away from that at all times.
I mean, we could have two good units out there during games if Jaeger could pull his head out of his ass.
In my mind, I feel like
split up Zach and Mark.
You have to. And then I know there's a big problem with rim protection even with Mark in there, there's a huge problem with rim protection.
Right.
Because he's not moving, he's not covering like he once did.
Well, and he also his responsibility is further away from the basket than most people probably realize.
I think you guys are kind of missing the forest for the trees.
What's that?
You know? There's great news on Grizzlies front. With the 76ers losing by 51, you no longer have the largest defeat of the season.
I heard, so if the Grizzlies hadn't hit like a 3 to only lose by 37, I think it was the Chris Vernon show, they pointed out like we'd have a 50, a 40, a 30, and a 20, and a 10. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like no one.
If you're playing high loss margin bingo, the Grizzlies will fill your card.
High loss margin. Yeah.
The funny part about, wait, this isn't funny. This is terribly sad. The Grizzlies can't even possibly fix this. Well, Zach and Tony have no trade value.
Well, that's in the Suns buzzer beater win.
Right.
I was watching the game like, would the Suns trade TJ Warren for Zach Randolph?
No. Absolutely not.
Would the Suns trade John Lure for Zach Randolph?
Okay, damn you.
I'm not sure they would.
That's a low blow.
That's right in the onions.
I mean, we should be exploring stuff like Z-Bo for Markieff Morris, like madness trades.
So that has...
But I don't think we can trade our way into
that. That has crossed my mind, and actually that would be a nightmare. I've been thinking about like if the Bulls keep struggling, Like, I feel like Tony's from Chicago. Like, Zebo has like a Chicago connection from Indiana. Like, maybe they could work something out. Get Powell down here. Get that Powell and Mark.
The beautiful game.
Yeah, get that. Get everyone excited.
Have crosses into headers into the goal.
Maybe we could get Jose Calderon for Vince. Like, straight up maybe when the Knicks fall out of it.
Spanish.
Yeah. So now you're racist.
Rudy Fernandez. I'm racist for the Spanish national team.
Yeah, yeah. You're a.
I'm a nationalist.
Wait, you don't want to be calling yourself
you're
racist.
Hey, Francisco Franco.
Hey, yeah, I'm a. You want to? I'm like Trump. I'm not racist. I'm nationalist.
Oh dear. Let's end this.
No, I was going to say another thing. Do we have any question of? I feel like I've said this before. My doubts on Dave Yeager. I feel like his calling might be in a great assistant, and I know he's one of the fastest to 100 wins.
Right.
But it's like this is little some pop psychology or whatever you want to call it, behavioral science, trying to studying. I'm not sure an NBA coach can be his stature.
Goateed.
I'm not sure you can
be
like
size.
I'm talking like 5'10", whatever he weighs.
Van Gundy says, what?
Yeah.
How big is Billy Donovan? I know that slick back hair look.
That slick back hair gets you somewhere. I feel like there's something about
Riley move.
And the suits, the dress. I feel like there's something about Yeager's goatee and kind of frumpled appearance that does not lead men.
Good coaches don't lose this many games by this many
by
points
20, yeah.
This early in a season.
That is a more simple way to analyze right. It, John.
This is just, he's a mess. The team's a mess.
And
it's going to take a sea change.
I also don't know why. I feel like we have an owner who has talked a big game about spending whatever it takes. Yet, when I look at the...
He just wants to suit up and play.
That too. When I look at the assistant coaches, I'm not like... These are not guys who were rumored for jobs anywhere. These are guys who have been around for a couple years. It seems like we're looking at these other teams that they've assembled all-star, you know. I don't know if that's an avenue that they could be exploring and they haven't. I don't know. I'm grasping for...
Straws are being grasped at.
Straws are being grasped at. It's just so dark. And again, my par fadeaway should have been I'm going to Memphis.
Yeah, well.
But I'm going to see a bloodbath as Steve Clifford's, the Jeremy Lambs and Jeremy Lin's and Cody Zeller's are going to be running circles to the bucket. I will say, Seth Partnow put out these charts of expected E field goal percentage versus actual E field goal percentage. That's effective field goal percentage for defense and for offense. The Grizzlies are taking the worst shots. Like their expected E field goal percentage is the worst. And they are following through. Mm-hmm. They are shooting the worst on like as they are. And then their defense, they are allowing the third easiest shots. Like their opponent's field goals are expected to go in. And they're actually, but then they're being outperformed against. And so they're allowing the worst field goal percentage. So
bad basketball all around.
It's bad basketball. It's running pin down screens for like 20-foot Jeff Green jumpers.
Yeah.
Those plays expect like 0.5 points. Like that's going to go in one every four times. Like that is not the way to do it. So
when we start a play and it doesn't go to Mark's hands, I assume we are not scoring.
I could even see Jeff Green starting at the four if they could get Zebo. Like if we could have a like Zebo off the bench, like do the Victor Oladipo, abuse some backup fours,
do something.
Fives, do something. It's a mess. I feel like at some point they've got to change the lineup and it's going to happen.
And you guys have built this whole like there's the whole grit and grind
it's
thing.
Over.
It's over. Yeager said it was over.
The whole idea of like the, you know, the brotherhood thing, like it's that, you know, that, I don't know if you can even blow the team up because
you can't.
Mike Conley or Gasol.
You can't. They're so tight.
They're going to be angry.
This is the team.
Yeah. Can you imagine they're just like a bunch of friends who know they're like in a business that's middling, but they don't care because they're all homies and they're like, yeah, we're not going
to. Possible.
Nothing like
that. It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. That's what it is. The Grizz are. Yeah. It's always sunny.
It's always sunny in Memphis. We're just the bar now.
Right.
It's not hot. It's not crap. It's
Tony
not the worst. It's not
the
closing.
Black as Charlie Day.
That's perfect.
Or is he DeVito?
Yeager would be DeVito.
All right, well, you guys, thanks for sticking around for the Grizzlies epilogue. We're a little down. It's like the optimism has left town.
Taking the headphones off.
No one expects this team to make noise anymore.
I'm gonna go watch John drink now.
All right, perfect.
Out of Keith's house.
You guys are the best. Have a good one.
Arrive safely.
We said he's done a lot of good things for Memphis. That may be the biggest of all of them. Number one, he got the ball and did not call timeout. Number two, he's going to shoot this thing from half court, and there was still time on the clock to get much closer. But it goes in.
Did some good things and what looks like a great thing.